I'd like you, please, to turn with me to one or two scriptures. First, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 2. Second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. This is Peter preaching. Verse 36. Let the whole house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him, this Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Having heard it, they were pricked in heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brethren?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Chapter 1 and verse 13. This is written, of course, to believers. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also have trusted, having heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, whom also, having believed, ye've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of the acquired possession, to the praise of his glory. There's other scriptures we might refer to as we go along, but I want to speak very simply to you this evening of two great matters in Christianity: the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two great matters. The Lord Jesus has been here so that you and I might have our sins forgiven. So what does it mean? What are sins? What is sin? Go back to Genesis and we read very quickly, after God had created the heavens and the earth, after God had created man and put him in a wonderful garden which he'd planted, disobedience, sin came in. By one man, sin, says the Apostle Paul. And we see that as a result of Adam's transgression, he disobeyed God in one single thing. God said, every tree, every plant in the garden you may eat, but there's one which you mustn't, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was just the one thing that Adam and his wife did. They ate of what God had told them not to do. And as a result of their disobedience, of their doing what God told them not to do, death came in. Sin came in. It was an act of disobedience. Sin is disobedience. Disobedience to God. Disobedience may be also to your parents. Sin is disobedience. Apostle Paul tells us that. And you don't have to go very far in your life to realize that you're a sinner. That you and I do things which we shouldn't do, and we sin. And these sins are taken account of by God. God does not and cannot pass sin by. We see that in Genesis, in those early chapters of Genesis, God had to say to sin, "Soul that sinneth, it shall die." Death came in as the governmental consequences of God on sin, men and women sinning, children sinning. Sinners come in through disobedience, through the act of one man. But you know, the good news is that because sin came in through one man, God has presented one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with the whole matter, the whole question of good and evil and sin. The Lord Jesus did this to perfection on Calvary's cross. He who knew not sin, he was sin apart. The Lord Jesus came here into this world sin apart. He never disobeyed. He never did one thing that was wrong. He did everything according to the mind of his God and Father. And what happened. He came to his own, John records in his gospel, and his own received him not. The very people to whom the Lord Jesus Christ, to Israel, those people, the Jews, the Lord Jesus came to, and they received him not. What did they do? They put him to death. The very Son of God they crucified. They awarded him a cross. They virtually, according to the parable the Lord spoke, they said, come, this is the heir, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. And that's exactly what Israel did. They killed their Saviour. But you know, they weren't alone in the doing of it. They had the acquiescence and approval of the Romans. So both Jew and Gentile stand accused of the death of Christ. So, here we are as sinners, without hope. We cannot make ourselves better. I don't know whether you've tried. I haven't. It doesn't work. Because of what we are by nature, we cannot make ourselves better or do anything to deserve the forgiveness of our sins. If it could be so, we'd all be busy doing it, wouldn't we? But the one wonderful thing is, God commends his love to us. He so loved the world, he so loved people like you and me, guilty, lost, helpless sinners, that he sent his Son here to die for our sins. The Lord Jesus has died because you and I are sinners. He who knew not sin, the Apostle Peter said, bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's the Lord Jesus took on himself my sins and yours, if you believe in him. On Calvary's cross, in those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus dealt once and for all with the whole sin question. So that God may now, today, freely and righteously forgive you your sins. God doesn't forgive sin. He's condemned the principle of it in the death of his Son. But he can forgive sinners and delights to do so because Christ has suffered and died, been into death, been raised again, is alive today at the right hand of God in heaven. So we have not just a Saviour that died for us, but a Saviour that's alive again and living for us. And we have him to present to you as the one who can forgive sins. He said when he was on earth, do you not know that the Son of Man, referring to himself, has power on earth, that's authority, to forgive sins? And the Lord Jesus is able to do that. God can forgive you your sins if you turn to him, but you need to repent. This is what the people said to Peter. What shall we do? What must we do? What can we do? We've crucified our Messiah. What do we do? We repent. And the message comes to you and to me today, 2,000 years later. We weren't there when the Lord died, but we have sinned. And Romans teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have sinned and we do, present tense, come short of the glory of God. So here we are as guilty, helpless, lost, ruined sinners. And we need a Saviour. And God has provided one. That's why we can preach good news to you tonight. Today, we can preach good news to you because Jesus has suffered and died, dealt with the sin question, and God is righteously able to forgive you your sins. If he passed them by, he would not be righteous. It would not be righteous of God to pass by your sins, to ignore them, to pretend they haven't happened. But God has a way of forgiving you for your sins if you put your faith and trust in Jesus and repent of your sins. Just what Peter said to those who asked him what they must do. Repent. Tell God you're sorry. And he is able righteously to forgive you. The Lord Jesus has borne the righteous judgment of a holy God on sin. And therefore God can righteously forgive you. He doesn't lose one iota of his righteousness in forgiving you your sins because Jesus has borne the judgment of them so that God may do it righteously. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is it that God can forgive you your sins? We're living in a day when so many, perhaps the majority of people on earth either haven't heard of God or Jesus or don't believe him. Or atheists, agnostics, whatever you like to think. They don't think it good to have God in their knowledge. And that is the state of the world at the present time. And the gospel is preached that you and they should have the knowledge of God, should know about the love of God. God so loved the world. Think of the love of God being expressed in the giving of Jesus. He so loved it. He so loved the world of lost, helpless, ruined sinners like you and me that he sent his beloved son into this world to deal with the whole sin question. Think of that. How wonderful it is that you and I today may know in reality the forgiveness of our sins, that God has nothing against us because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus and we've repented of them. So we may have the forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? That everything that stood against us, that stood between us and a holy God has been dealt with and God has nothing but love in his heart towards us. How wonderful is that? A God, a holy, a righteous, a sin-hating God has nothing but heart, love in his heart for you and for me. Because he sent Jesus to die for our sins. So we may enjoy today the forgiveness of our sins. And there's one further great matter I'd like to speak to you simply about, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, spoke about it being profitable them if he were to go away, because if he were to go away, the Spirit of God would come. Or if he didn't go, the Spirit wouldn't come. So God has sent the Spirit of his Son here. The Lord Jesus Christ has been into death, has gone into glory, and has sent his Spirit. Now, Spirit of God is the most wonderful person. He's a divine person. He's one of the Godhead. Godhead consists of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the third person, we may reverently speak, of the Godhead. And he's come here, he's been sent here to indwell the believer in Jesus. Why is it? Why do we need a divine person to be with us and to be in us? Well, firstly, we are weak, we are frail, we are human, and we need the Spirit of God. We cannot continue our Christian pathway without the help of God's Spirit. And he sent his Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, it's profitable to us if I go away. He will send another comforter. Spirit of God is here to care and comfort the people of God, to care for and comfort you and me during our time here below. The Lord Jesus has gone into heaven. He's our Saviour, risen and living, and he's in heaven. But he sent his Spirit here into this world to indwell believers on Jesus. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you will receive the indwelling of the blessed Holy Spirit. He will help you. He will guide you. He's to be a guide, a comforter. He's to be to you as the Lord Jesus was to his disciples when he was on earth. So that we have every advantage. It helps us to understand the Bible. Helps us to understand the scriptures. Helps us when we have problems. When there's things that we don't know how to deal with. The Spirit of God would help you every day. He's to be with us and in us. Isn't it wonderful? When the Lord was here, he could only be in one place in one time, at one time, because he'd come into flesh and blood, the incarnation. He couldn't be in two places at one time. The Holy Spirit of God has come as a spirit, and therefore he is in you and everyone who believes at the same time. He can be in more than one place and person at once. That I'm trying to give you some impression of the greatness and power of the Holy Spirit being here on earth. And he is forming the church, the body of Christ here on earth. By one Spirit, we are both baptized into one body, in the power of one Spirit, if you read in Corinthians. We belong to the body of Christ here on earth because of the indwelling Spirit. We are baptized, we're joined through death into the body of Christ here on earth. That's the most wonderful thing. Thing that you and I couldn't do. God not only can forgive us our sins, but through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we're joined to the body of Christ here on earth. That is another amazing truth. So that God has every provision made for us. And that's why I read in Ephesians. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we've been sealed with him. We belong to Christ, and the sealing of that belonging is the Holy Spirit. He's sealed us. He's put his mark upon us. We are Christ's through him. Isn't it wonderful? We belong to the Lord Jesus, but we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So there's a redemption of the required possession. Acquired possession. We've been redeemed by precious blood. The Lord Jesus has shed his precious blood to cleanse us from our sins and to redeem us to God. But that our bodies are still here below. And our bodies contain the Holy Spirit. And that precious time when the Lord comes for those who belong to him will be the redemption of the acquired possession. We're going to be with Jesus where he is, and very soon, I believe. So very soon, all who belong to the Lord Jesus will be gathered up, and we will be with him where he is. We shall see him. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Spirit's work will be complete in regard of the church, the assembly of God. So a wonderful work is going on. A wonderful work is going on in my soul and in yours, those who believe, through the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. So that we become like Christ. So that we want to go in for the things of Christ. So that we long for the return of our Lord and Saviour. We were reading this afternoon of the terrible end that's coming to this world. It's going to be burnt up and all the works in it. Everything that man has done will be finished, gone forever, be dissolved, and there'll be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Everything about this present age will end, and it will end in the with the power of God. Firstly, the Lord, though, will come again and take up his rights here. The one who was cast out, the one who was rejected and crucified outside of Jerusalem, will come to that very city and reign again from that part. So how wonderful it is that All of this is going to happen. It's the word of God. It's not my idea. It's not my thoughts. God says it's going to happen, and happen it will. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Sin will be dealt with. The great white throne will deal with sinners, persons who do not obey the glad tidings or have never heard of the grace of God. That will be ended. Sin will be dealt with, finally and fully. And the earth and the present heavens will be dealt with too. And there'll be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Sin will exist no more. There'll be no more temptation, no more sin, no more sorrows, no more tears. What a wonderful time is coming. So we have the earnest of it through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We can enjoy now something of what is going to be our eternal portion. I think that's so wonderful. God doesn't leave everything until we die for our enjoyment. He gives us to enjoy now what will be our eternal portion. And he gives us to be able to praise now, which will be our eternal occupation. God has a wonderful occupation for his sons. We are adopted. The adoption or spirit of sonship, the spirit of God, is the spirit of adoption. And we've been adopted by God as sons, his sons, and we can enjoy something of it now. We shall enjoy it in its fullness eternally, but we can enjoy something of it now. That's the wonder of the gospel message. Gospel message is very simple, very clear, and very direct, and it's to each person to repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in Jesus, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and come into the wonderful enjoyment that God has for his children. Oh, how wonderful it all is. I wish I could speak better of it. But these things may be yours today if you will turn to God, repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you will have everything, every resource for the rest of your life here, the rest of your journey here below. May it be your portion. May it be the portion of all of us in this room for his name's sake.